So this is our harvest. So if you'd like to turn to someone next to you and say, happy harvest. Let's read together a psalm. This is Psalm 96, which is quite a harvesty psalm, if that's a true word. And we split it up into the some verses which we're all going to read together, and then there's some the women will read together and some that the men will read together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Say among the nations, as he reigns, the world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. In our adult church over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the theme, Every Sparrow Counts. And this is based on some of these words from Matthew 10 and Luke 12, where Jesus talked about sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care, and not one of them is forgotten by God. And we're using that as a focal point on looking at the fact that we, says Jesus, are worth more than many sparrows. And so we've been looking at different groups of people, begun to look, and we'll be continuing to do so, at different groups that might be overlooked or undervalued in society, and understand that God's loving heart is towards them, and he would desire that we would have that same heart. So far, we've looked at the homeless and children and young people, and today, I want to consider God's heart for the poor. As it's Harvest Sunday, it seemed an appropriate theme to think about as we celebrate all that God has provided. We also need to be able to think about those for whom things are tougher to be able to understand God as creator and provider. I could do with six people who would be able to sit up here and hold some things for me. Okay. While we're doing that, you all got your heart here. We're thinking about God's heart for the poor. If you'd like to peel your heart and pop it on, you can choose where. So, some things for us to hold for a moment. You get the roast dinner, which reminds us that we are having a harvest meal after this particular service, and Naomi will talk about that a little bit later on. Don't think it'll look exactly like that, but you never know. You can have that one there. Okay. What else should we have? You can make yourself comfortable. Do you pop those on your feet? There you go, some nice slippers. You probably have to take your shoes off first, so we'll stand by for that. Okay, so we've got a nice coat for you to pop on. Come on then. Do you want to stand up for a moment? Let's pop it on there. You can put your arms through if you want to. Very nice. Fits quite well. Okay. You get the syringe. And Mac, that's for you. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a minute, explain what that's about. But you'll see around the room, there are some verses. And I'd like the five verses on that side of the wall read, and then I'd like the five verses on that wall read. So I'm going to pass the microphone around. If you're sitting near it, if you like to just read that verse out loud and then pass the mic back a little bit for somebody else to read, and hopefully we'll find 10 people who would be willing to read. It's an interesting verse in Proverbs 22:2. It says, "Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all." Now, I don't think that means that, let's say, that God makes some people to be rich and God makes some people to be poor. I think what that means is that it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, God is your creator and he loves you. He doesn't look at our social status and say, you're loved, you're not. God loves us all. He's made us all. Okay.
Psalm 14, verse 6, evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge.
Okay. Okay, next one.
Psalm 35, verse 10, who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them.
Psalm 69, verse 33, the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people.
Who is like the Lord our God? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes of his people.
Psalm 140, verse 12, the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy.
Thank you. So that's all talking about God as upholding and his love for the poor. And then if folks from the back and then can work their way forwards could read the ones from the Proverbs, which talk particularly, I think, about us connecting with that heart and the practicalities of that. Thank you, Joan.
It is a sin to despise one's neighbour, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy.
Proverbs 14:21.
Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done.
Thank you. It's Proverbs 19:17.
Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered.
Thank you. So that's quite a challenging one, that if we don't listen to the cry of the poor, then God is not going to listen to our cries. So that's quite a challenge. Okay, next one, please.
Proverbs 22, verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor.
Proverbs 29:7. The righteous care about justice for the poor.
Lovely, thank you. Okay, so a number of different verses from the Psalms and the Proverbs that talk about God's heart for the poor and God's people catching that heart. When Jesus came, he said he'd come to bring good news to the poor. And he also told his followers that showing kindness to the poor was also being kind to him directly. We see that in Matthew 25, when Jesus tells this story in verse 34. He says, the king will say to those on his right, he's split them into two groups called sheep and goats, and the ones on his right are the spiritual sheep. He says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then he said, the type of people that you can bless, and in doing so, you're blessing me. So the first one, you want to stand up? He said, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Next one, Eloise, you stand up very carefully. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in to your home, which I think is symbolized nicely, like put on your slippers. Okay, next one, I needed clothes, and you clothed me. Next one, I was sick, and you looked after me. Maybe, perhaps, we don't want to give each other syringes, but you know what I mean. And the last one, I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Okay, all be seated. Thank you. So Jesus pointed out all of those different types of people groups. And he said, having pointed all those out, people said, well, hang on a minute. Well, when have we done all these things? So let's read what he went on to say. Then the righteous will answer. Let's read together. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? When we need clothes and clothe you. When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, Whatever you did for the least brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So in a sense, Jesus was linking up with one of the Proverbs that we read, which is Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for whatever they've done. So the psalmist says, God's heart for the poor, so he loves them. The writer of the Proverbs says, demonstrate your love for the poor by sharing what you have. And Jesus said, as you do to the least of these, you're doing to me. This evening, we are showing the film Faith Like Potatoes, and that starts at 6 o'clock this evening. There's no worship in the service this evening. We're just watching the film together, but there will be Pringles and popcorn served as part of this evening, and one or two other little items at 6 o'clock. The link with potatoes is something that also we're going to have just for the final part of our service this morning. Every week, we take a collection usually at the end of the service in the red bags, and that goes to what we call the Remember the Poor Fund, and that gets sent to help meet local needs and also national needs and also international needs as those needs do arise. And in a few moments' time, we're going to be taking that offering, and this morning all that money is going to go towards helping people to grow potatoes. And part of that initiative has been created by the Methodist Church, who they tend to organise a different mission every year in their harvest festivals, and under the banner of All We Can. And that phrase is used from an often quoted phrase by John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement, who is cited as saying this: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And so the Methodists have started this organization called All We Can, and you can see that online. And this year, they're focusing on potato farming and how poor communities in Ethiopia particularly are benefiting from a potato crop. So we'll run a video about it, and then we'll take up our offering.
Welcome, friends, to Charcos, home to over 2,000 beautiful people. You'll find us in the coffee shops. You'll find us playing football. And you'll find us with our families, because family makes us smile. You may know us for our fantastic coffee. It really is some of the best in the world. You may know us for long-distance runners. We love to run, and run, and run. This is a school, and here are the children. This is how they say hello. This is the market where we buy our food. This is injera. It is delicious. This is a hoe, and this is a donkey. He helps us with our work. Some people are teachers, some people are shepherds, but most of the people here are farmers. This is Fikrta. She is a farmer. This is her farm. But the ground is too dry. The weather is either too hot or too cold, too wet or too dry. Sometimes her harvest is small. Sometimes her children cannot go to school. And sometimes her family are very hungry. And if her family are hungry, then many other farmers and their families are hungry too. This is not good. But this year, Bukarta can get help. She can meet with other farmers, and All We Can will give them training, and All We Can will give them seeds. New seeds, big seeds, wheat seeds, vegetable seeds, and the Charcos favorite, the potato seed, because potato seeds become potatoes, and potatoes could feed Fikarta's family. Potatoes could end the hunger. Potatoes could change the future for Fikarta. Potatoes could change the future for Charcos. So please, help us sow the seeds for Charcos.
Last part of our service, just draw your attention to the picture that you have on your seats and this church building that you have here surrounded by a number of people. This is the Tater Church, and it shows you some people that maybe God doesn't want for us to grow into, and maybe the type of people that God does want us to grow into. So the first one, I point over here, you'll see near the front going blah, 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 this is commentator. And commentator is someone who has an opinion on every subject and often an opinion on every person. Always seems to find out the latest news, ready to share it, even if it's gossip and isn't sure if it's the truth. They like to commentate on all things. I'm not sure that's the type of person God wants to grow in the church. Instead, the Bible teaches this. Let's read this together from Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That sounds a much better thing to grow. Okay, the next one I want to point out to are these two people back to back, and this points us to agitator. Agitator, someone who purposely stirs up conflict, often causing people to fall out with each other and turn their backs on each other and not talk to each other. And I don't think God wants the church full of agitators, do you? Instead, Proverbs 6 says this. Let's read this together. Verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. A man who stirs up dissension among brothers. That's one of the six. Note, he doesn't say he hates dissension. He actually says he hates the person who stirs up dissension. That's not part of God's heart. Paul says this in Romans 12:18. Let's read this. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Being a peacemaker is much better than making everything fall to pieces. So bear that in mind, not agitators. Here's another one. Question mark on his head. He is hesitator. Hesitator has a lot of difficulties making decisions, starts off well, but has a problem putting their plans into action, maybe gets worried about the decisions being made and thinks more and more about it, becomes anxious, might make the wrong choices, motivated heavily by fear, longs to be decisive, and perhaps will be tomorrow. And I don't think God necessarily wants us to be full of fear and anxiety. In fact, when God spoke to Joshua, he said these words in 1:9. Let's read this together. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And now he was leading hundreds and thousands of people into the promised land, into the unknown. And compared to perhaps what we might be anxious about, it might be that what we're going into that has real fear and anxiety. But God said this to Joshua, don't be terrified, I'm with you. And I believe it's still the same today. So what about the next one? He's praying, so he is meditator. Always relies on prayer about every situation before taking any action. Always involve God in his life. Commits everything to him. Remembers to say thank you to God for answered prayer. I think God wants lots of meditators in his church. He makes sure there's a two-way communication. Speaking to God, God speaking back. So, and this is an answer to the anxiety and fear. Let's read this in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we don't need to be afraid and anxious. We can bring prayers to God with thanksgiving instead. Okay, next one. Who have we got? This one, we have a guy pointing in red to other people. This is dictator. Very bossy person, always likes telling people what to do, not interested really in the opinion of other people. He has his own agenda, doesn't work as a member of the team. He's very insistent that people have to do it one way, and it's his or her way. Not very patient, just bossy. Not sure that's the type of people God wants to grow in the church. Instead, He wants us to have a different character where we actually look after the needs of others. But this is the character that it says in Colossians 3:12. Let's read this together. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Much better attitudes to grow. Here's another one. This one's at the back there, covered in cobwebs. This is Vegetator. Vegetator likes things exactly as they always have been, finding peace and safety in things familiar, and it tends to be rather lazy because if they were actively involved in things, then things might change. And Vegetator's favourite song is we shall not be moved. And while standing firm in some circumstances is good, Vegetator will often gather dust and cobwebs and won't achieve anything. And I'm not sure that's how God wants us to be. I think he wants us to be active in the things that are good rather than just digging our heels in and say it mustn't change, because God is a God of seasons. When God spoke to the church in Sardis in Revelation 3, he said this. Let's read it together. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Not a good message to the church. Wake up. Not meant to be sleeping and vegetating. A couple more. Who have we got next? Coming down from above down here, pretending to be a bird. He is Imitator. Imitator, someone who follows others all the time. Heavily influenced by other people. Not very original, not very genuine. Can tend to change their direction and thoughts based on what their heroes are thinking and saying. Can't really do anything themselves. And as a result, they're not very reliable because they might be going one way one day and another way another. And I think God does want us to be an imitator, but he wants us to be an imitator of God and Christ and his ways. So let's read this, Ephesians 5:1. Follow God's example as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk as Jesus did. Last couple ones. This one here, you see the big tower. There are three people there, and they're all watching what everyone else is doing. They are spectator. Stay around, lying around, watching other people do all the work. Often will offer advice on how they should do it, but actually not be willing to do anything themselves. And often can observe with a critical eye. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing it that way, but not willing to offer any help. And often, sadly, churches can be full of spectators. And Apostle Paul says, actually, do you know what? God has gifted everybody to contribute to the growth to build the church. And so let's read this, Ephesians 4:16. From Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each part. Everyone's got a part to play, not just to watch other people. And the last one I want to draw attention to, these ones here, holding hands, one helping the other. This is facilitator. Helpful person, putting others' needs before their own. Helps the spectators to find a way to serve, to recognize their gifts. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5 about everyone should be. Let's read it together. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Nice to have some facilitators in the church to bring the best out in them. And you might notice a couple of other taters in that picture. You might like to have a little think and find them in the picture, ones I've not referred to, and you might think, I wonder which ones they might represent. The Bible talks a lot about how he wants us, God wants us to grow. Psalm 1 talks about growing as a tree planted by the streams of water. John 15 has Jesus talking about him being the vine and we are the branches. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the seed of God's word growing in us, people watering it, and God brings growth. God wants us to grow into being something beautiful for him. So the last thing I want us to do before we sing our last song is you have your stick, your plant stick with you. And I'd like you just to write, using your pencil on that stick, a prayer. Something that perhaps you would like to be. Maybe it's one of those taters, the positive ones, or maybe it's one of the negative ones that you don't want to be like. And just bring that prayer to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I want to be more like, or I want to be less like. And we're going to pop the prayers into this little tub over here. So you want to come and pop your prayers in there, and then we'll pray, and then we'll sing our final song. If you haven't got one of those characteristics that you would like to be or not like to be, then put on your stick somebody you'd like to pray for. that you would like for God to work in their life, and maybe to ask God to help you to be a blessing to them. So let's do that together for the next couple of minutes. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, I bring to you all of these potted prayers. And Lord, just as a seed sowed in the ground bears fruit, Lord, I pray, Lord, that what we have sown in just writing, but Lord, it's also an expression of our heart. I pray, Lord, will bear fruit. Lord, for those things that we desire to change in our lives, that you will hear the cry of our hearts, and that by your Spirit, Lord, you enable us to make the decisions we need to make to change. And Lord, those things that we cannot alter, I pray, Lord, that you will do the impossible. For Lord, with you, nothing is impossible. And Lord, as we have brought other people to you in prayer, Lord, I pray that we may continue to be a blessing to them as we uphold them in prayer, and that you may do a great thing in their lives. And that, Lord, this symbolic act may be an expression, Lord, of our heart and desire for you to do something new. And we pray, Lord, you will hear and see our prayers this morning for this purpose. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.